Here we go. All right. I call the June 21, 2022 regular board meeting of Glencoe Park District to order. Lisa, please call the roll and note the time.
Great. It's 7 p.m. Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Covey?
Yes.
Commissioner Schneider?
Yes.
Commissioner Spain?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes. On to consent agenda items. A and B are routine. Can I get a motion? Does any commissioner want any item pulled from the consent agenda items?
No.
Okay. I entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda items as presented.
Second.
Okay.
Got that?
Yep.
Okay. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Covey?
Yes.
Commissioner Schneider?
Yes.
Commissioner Spain?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes. Motion passes. Now to matters from the public. It is our practice not to address questions at this time. However, we will take comments under advisement. Is there anyone who would like to make a verbal comment? If so, please limit comments to 3 minutes per person. All right, then we will move on to the presentation of the fiscal year 2021-22 audit. John will introduce Jamie Wilkie from Lauterbach and Amen to give the presentation and lead any discussion.
All right, thank you, President Brooks. Good evening, Board of Commissioners. So here tonight is the President of 2022 audit, Jamie Wilkie with the firm Lauterbach and Amen. Jamie is the lead partner on the audit for the Glencoe Park District, and she's here tonight to discuss three audit deliverables that they provided as part of their engagement with the Park District. That's their opinion on our financial statements, the status 114 letter, and management letter. Jamie will get into further detail. Before I do turn it over to Jamie, I do just want to mention, if you did look at this year's report and compare it to the prior year report, you'll notice it's a little thicker. Produced what is annual comprehensive financial report this year, as opposed to previous years where we produced an annual financial report. And the comprehensive financial report that we produced this year has really been put together in compliance with the requirements set forth by the GFOA, and specifically with their certificate of achievement for excellence in financial reporting program. So we will be submitting our ACFR, annual comprehensive financial report, to the GFOA. Once it is finalized, it will be dated and signed by Lauterbach and Amen tomorrow, and then shortly thereafter we'll submit it to the GFOA for their review and hopefully be a recipient of the Certificate of Achievement Award. So with that, I will turn things over to Jamie.
Thank you so much, Sean. Good evening. Thank you for having us.
Hello.
So I know many of you are probably following along electronically, so I do have a few page number references this evening. I'll provide those your PDF page number in your packet. Just for easily following along. So I first of all want to thank John and the staff. They really did an outstanding job preparing for this year's audit. We actually had no adjusting journal entries that were detected by the auditor. So it's always nice to have a prior auditor that's your finance director, so he knows what he's doing and what we're looking for. But obviously I want to reiterate that that's not typically the norm. Typically when we come in for our government engagements, and in particular our park districts that maybe have smaller finance department teams, we do expect to have adjusting journal entries, so certainly pleased that everything was ready and available and fully adjusted, and they really did an outstanding job. So I wanted to make sure we pointed that out this evening.
Good job, John.
As I said, we'll kind of walk through the required communications and the audit opinions this evening. The first component that's provided in your board packet this evening, starting on page 43 of the PDF, is what we call our staff 114 letter. The staff 114 letter is an annual required communication to the board, really covering a variety of topics. Most often, it's only an issue if there's something negative to report, if that makes sense. So this is where we would report any disagreements with management, significant adjusting entries, areas that we had potential concern. So this letter this evening is really the boilerplate standard. There are no issues within the staff 114 letter. Immediately after those few sign the management letter. The management letters really our opportunity each year to provide information on upcoming GASB pronouncements, maybe potential best practice recommendations and things along those lines. This year, we did have one comment provided in the management letter. It's more informational or educational rather than a true finding. That relates to the Governmental Accounting Standards Board change that will be coming for next fiscal year, called GASB 87, related to the way we report leases in the Park District financial statement. So as we kind of go into this next cycle, we'll be working with John and the team to address the applicability of that new statement for next year. Starting then on page 50 begins the actual audit document. And we'll cover first the audit opinion, which is on pages 9 through 11 in a paper copy, or 64 to 66 in that PDF version of your packet. This is probably one of the more important components of the audit, obviously our final opinion on the financial statements. We have issued this year what we call an unmodified or clean audit opinion. That is the highest level opinion that the Park District can receive. As part of our testing each year, we are not only coming in to ensure that the financial statements are materially correct, but as part of that process, we are also required to take a look at the overall internal control environment. So while we're not providing a specific opinion on internal controls, we are required to do pretty extensive testing on the controls that are in place, basically trying to make sure that we can rely upon those policies, workflow that are in place here at the district to ensure that those financial statements are accurate. So as part of that, we would certainly be required to report any findings, areas of concern, things that we would deem significant deficiencies or even material weaknesses. We're happy to report we had no such findings, so truly a clean audit process this year. Immediately after the audit opinion on pages 13 through 20, or 68 through 75 of the PDF packet, you'll find a very important section of the document called Management Discussion and Analysis, or what we call MD&A. As you've probably noticed, and John alluded to, the document itself is quite large this year. We have some added sections as part of the GFOA certificate program. And so this MD&A section is really intended to be the executive summary. Really providing kind of that executive level feedback on major results for the year, trends, some analysis on certain transactions, discussion of long-term debt and capital asset activity throughout the year. So certainly always encourage our boards and commissioners to read this section in detail. You will kind of get that nice cliff notes version to the audit within those 8 pages of the report. If you look at the very first page of that, I just want to point out just a couple of very high-level financial results. So that would be page 68 of the PDF or page 13 of the paper copy. Overall net position for the Park District, or what we call equity, did improve for the year to the tune of about $3.4 million, meaning the value of the entire Park District increased to $3.4 million. A few key components that you'll see highlighted there on that page. Recreation programs obviously saw a rebound. We're seeing that across most of our districts. Obviously, as a parent of 3, any programs that were happening after COVID, everybody, I think, was getting their kids back involved. So program revenues went up about $1.9 million in comparison to the prior year. And part of that increase in value is also the continued investment in capital assets. So whenever we create new assets for the district, that increases our total equity or overall value. And then the long-term debt was retired during the year as well as planned in accordance with the payoff schedule. So when we pay off debt and don't issue, you know, significant debt adding to that base, then we also see an improvement in equity. So just wanted to highlight at a very high level some of those, you know, positive results for the year contributing to that increase. The last section I want to point out is the new section for the GFOA starting on page 103 or 157 if you're in the PDF packet. John alluded to 2 new sections within the report. One is at the very front, it's what we call our transmittal letter, really just a summary of things like the local economy, major initiatives of the Park District. But I think starting on page 103 or 107 of the PDF packet, We really do provide a wealth of additional information this year. The first several schedules there, you'll find 10-year trend information covering financial results. As you continue through that section of the document, you'll find 10-year history on property taxes, long-term debt, operating indicators, capital asset holdings, number of full-time employees, for example. So I certainly would encourage the board to maybe spend a little time at that back half of the report, that new section. I know a lot of our board members and commissioners always enjoy having kind of that historical context as well as the back of the document. So what happens going forward is each year we're going to add a new year and take off the first year of that schedule. So we'll have kind of a rolling 10-year history of the Park District as we continue to move forward. I'm certainly happy to open it up for any questions this evening, but just wanted to reiterate the clean audit process, the journal entries, findings, really about as good as you can get when it comes to an audit.
Any questions?
Question. So, you had pointed out the $3.4 million increase.
Sure.
I'm sure to hear you refer to it as equity.
Yes.
Because I was assuming you would know what you were not using corporate cash.
Yes.
But it mentions, and it doesn't have a number for it, but it mentions that part of this was due to the strong investment performance in pension.
Yes.
But I'm assuming that that has moved down significantly since the end of the year.
Yeah.
So I'd say just a question of materiality. Is that anything that should be mentioned, or is like this just relates to what was happening?
Typically we don't disclose that as what we would call like a subsequent event or something like that. And unfortunately the nature of the IRM pension obligation is exactly what you alluded to. We can have strong market return years and the subsequent year can tank. So what happens is IMRF does take that into account then when they set your rates for that following fiscal year. So we will see some impact obviously from the drop in the market that we're experiencing.
Okay, but you answered an important question.
Yes.
What happened and that you don't comment?
Yeah, it's not correct.
Okay, that's
yes. And a reminder, because you guys are February year end, the measurement of your pension is always December 31st. So you guys have always had kind of a 2-month lag in what we report here for IMRF versus your fiscal year end.
So actually, because IMRF is reporting December, that it'll be another year really before we see the current.
Correct, exactly. So there's always about a year lag based on when they do their actuarial analysis and look at the market. Now there's some smoothing that they use on the market value of assets so that you're not impacted each year dramatically. But that's part of the actuary's job each year with IMRF.
So it's all rich for market performance by next
year. As long as the second half good, at the end December 31st on a good note, then you're good.
I have just two hopefully quick questions.
Sure.
One is, how many park districts do you audit that receive the letter that we receive? Of sort of we're in great shape and things are looking good and all those things. Like, are we 1 in 5, or are we 1 in 10, or are we 1 in 100?
So we audit annually about 65 park districts, so just in most here in the Chicagoland area, so that'll kind of give you scope. I would say, so I have not had a disclaimed or qualified opinion in probably a few years, and it's been on the municipal side, not on the park district side. And kind of some of the Southside communities that struggle through their audits. So the park district space, there's kind of a couple of levels of opinion, right? So is it a clean or unmodified opinion? I can tell you 100% of Lauderbach and Haven's park district clients get a clean opinion.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought we were special.
Oh, we are.
What you are special in is not having to disclose significant audit adjustments or findings that the auditors have found. That is not the norm. I would tell you that I probably only have 8 to 10 park districts that I can tell you we walk in and don't have an adjusting journal entry.
Got it. Yeah. 15%, that's not bad.
Good job.
And my other question for you is, sure, because I don't spend a lot of time looking at other park districts' finances, and you do.
Yeah.
If I calculate correctly, about 10% of our revenue is on debt servicing. Is that about right? About $1.3 million off of $13 million. Where does that fit in with other park districts? Is that the norm? Are we high? Are we low? I imagine we're low, but it's nice to hear it from.
It is low. One of the schedules that's now added towards the back of the report is page 117. I'm not entirely certain what the PDF page reference is.
I will tell you what the PDF is. The PDF is going to be about 172, I believe.
We will start tracking over time your debt capacity or debt per capita, and I always think that's a good indicator to compare yourselves to others because you take into account that component of the population you're serving with that debt base. So I will tell you, most of our park districts are in the probably the thousands. You guys are $950 per capita for 2022, if you look at the last line on page 117.
So most are in the 3-4% range?
Most, when I look at that number, would be over the 1,000 number for sure.
Right, but that would put you over the 1,000, put you in a percentage of personal income. Should
yes.
be in the 3-4% range.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's another good sign.
Yes.
Thank you.
That was a really interesting question.
So I will tell you, I always like to use
put it into context.
Focus like you to benchmark where we are because you see more than we do.
Right, and we do as a firm every few years, we do release a benchmarking report. So staff will get that. I know we go in cycles typically, so I can't remember where the firm just accrued at in that cycle, but we do every few years release kind of a benchmarking report based on all of the data. You know, when you work with 65 districts,
right, you
get the data and be able to show what trends look like. So, you know, as soon as that one is up for being updated with more recent information, then you guys will have access to that.
And this will fall tremendously in 2026, if I recall correctly, right? This is going to come down.
unless we issue debt.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, and that would be the year the 2015s are paid off.
Yep. Well, thank you. Thank you, John.
As you talk to your 65 different park districts you work with, and I understand you're working from an audit perspective,
sure,
not a consulting perspective, but are you having any discussions or will you have any discussions about inflation? Obviously, it's a major dynamic change. Costs are going to go up. Revenues, we need to match that. I don't know if you have any advice or any thoughts, or just park districts do what they do, and then we.
Yeah, actually, that discussion came up today at a municipal client because I expect the impact for them to be a little more minimal in comparison to the park districts. And I say that because they're reaping the benefits of some increased sales tax and income tax that you guys don't have the benefit of receiving. So, you know, we've seen our park district struggle through COVID because you have two funding sources, basically, is property taxes, which, great, that's kind of a given, but a large component is that charges for services that can be very volatile. So, I haven't had any direct conversations yet with park districts. I know it's on radar at many because you don't have a lot of diversification in your revenue streams to help offset some of those upticks and expenses that it is what it is, you can't avoid it, right? So, but I know in the municipal space, they're kind of feeling like they're gonna be okay because of the uptick in some of those other revenue streams. So, but the park districts, I don't think have quite rebounded the pre-COVID, you know, levels at this point. Although golf keeps going for some of our park districts,
it's crazy.
It's amazing, yeah.
I know, it's crazy. Any other questions? I'd like to applaud John and his team for an excellent audit. Thank you very much. Jamie and your team for an excellent audit as well. So thank you. I did miss seeing your team in the conference room for a week, though, so in person.
Oh.
but thank you very much for being here. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much. Congrats, John. Well,
you're welcome to stay, but you know.
Yes, and
we do have riveting.
Obviously, you're welcome to leave as well. we are moving on now to the financial report. 3 months of the fiscal year is complete, and John will once again, if you come, will provide a synopsis of the reports.
Sure. Thank you. I do just want to mention also Brian, he's quarantining, still not feeling the best. He was planning on being here tonight, but he did, he was a big part of the audit process, so he did a really great job on the schedules together.
Very true. Thank you for doing this honorable part and staying home.
Yep.
Yes. Yes. Why are you not doing
well? Yes.
Yes.
All of us are doing
yes,
well.
Yes. Thank you. Bye.
So just to pick up here now, as into our 3 months into our fiscal year now, so we're starting to see some clarity around some of the numbers, specifically on the beach. Starting with the rec department, so we do see. That in revenue and expenditures that really correlate to each other, and it's really just a result of increased volume pretty much across the board. So again, we're doing more programming, as we're emerging completely into our new normal. And we see that with the rec programs here. Children's Circle, we do see here that revenues compared to prior year are significantly lower, but keep in mind that the prior year amount approximately $86,000 in that one-time grant that we received for the child care restoration grant. Fitness department continues to do well this year, still operating in excess of revenue over expenditures position, a little over $5,000. People are using the fitness center. As I mentioned, the beach department, so a significant drop-off from the prior year as we look at revenues and excess of revenue over expenditures, and that was to be expected. Obviously, we saw a significant surge last year as the demand was just really high. So as we compare that to 531.19 and 531.20, that's still a very healthy number. And I think we budgeted first passes. We budgeted around $350,000 and. I think as we enter the next couple weeks, and maybe right after around July 4th, we'll have a pretty good idea of where we stand on that. It's a pretty aggressive budget number, and I'm not sure if we'll get there. But, we certainly are going to see how things turn out. The daily passes, too, we budgeted around $50,000, targeting maybe a little less than that. But again, the next couple weeks will tell us for sure. Obviously, the weather hasn't done us too many favors, particularly on the weekends. Saturday was a pretty chilly day for middle of June, and we've had a couple of those this year on the weekend. So we'll keep an eye on the beach revenues, but again, really outpacing what we've done for the past several years. So I don't think it would be fair to really compare directly to the prior year. We really need to look at the average and what our new numbers eventually will be as we continue to normalize out of the pandemic. Voting, not a whole lot to speak to here. Not much on the last year, pretty consistent with the prior year. Just a reminder, with GMA, we are going to see a decreased amount every month this year, and that's because we're directly allocating the health insurance, which was the second largest expense in the GMA department, so that's being directly allocated to all the departments now. Parks pretty consistent, maybe a few tiny issues there on expenditures, but not much to speak to there. And then at the bottom of the rec admin ticket department, again, revenue is outpacing last year's. As a reminder, last year there was the extension for property taxes, which allowed homeowners to pay it a little later. As a result, we got our distributions a little later. That did not happen this year, so we're getting our money a little ahead of time, or more actually back to our normal schedule, I should say. PPRT is also doing very well this year. Idle citing legislative changes that really impacted that for corporate taxpayers. That's a direct result of what we're seeing then. So PPRT and property taxes mainly accounting for the increase in revenues from our debt. Keep in mind that property taxes, this is our first installment, so the second installment we're still expecting will be delayed. We haven't gotten any further clarity on it, so we're expecting it sometime in the winter, potentially December, around Christmas time, maybe after, worst case scenario. So no change to that. So we're certainly monitoring that and taking that into consideration as we're evaluating our cash flows. We do. So our audited figures, if you remember back to when we budgeted, presented the budget in February, between the general and recreation fund, we had budgeted for about a 63% fund balance as of 2/28/23. With our audited numbers, we had actually inched up about a percentage and a half. I want to say we're about 65%, so pretty close to what we were projecting out then. So that fund balance should be sufficient to weather any delays. That's the expectation. So we won't, you know, some districts are kind of caught having to issue potentially tax anticipation warrants and other needs of funding, but luckily we do have that reserve there.
Any other questions for John?
I spent some quality time with John this week.
Did you? Good question.
I mean, I think the only thing is when you mentioned the beach sales, I think you hit it down. I think it's possible to compare 2022 to any other year. You know, maybe it's something that we look into next year about moving Saturdays and Sundays again, or considering, you know, redoing the current policy for next year. We'll just have to look at it and see what the numbers come out.
Yeah.
A little detailed question, if you don't mind the answer. Totally fine. Are we seeing a bunch of Northport residents purchase passes?
Yeah, about 1,100.
1,100? Wow. Do we have any private issues at all so far? Not because of the weather coming off, but.
Beach has been very mountainous so far this year.
That's good news. Okay, I'll take 1,100.
Yep.
I don't know if this is the right time to ask this, but curious with the, so I've attended two of the food truck events. One, the weather wasn't great. One was Father's Day, which I think was probably a good day. How do the contracts work for that? Like, what if there's bad weather? Do they have a minimum for those? Does they have to?
We don't. So they're on their own. So it's basically a $25 fee that they pay to the state to get the license for the day, which we're actually covering to incentivize them. So we're only for $25. We see it as an add-on for the day, but it's at their own risk. So effectively what we're seeing is less than 75 degrees temperature wise, it's not really coming. If it's over 75 degrees, it seems to be for a while. They seem to be a nice add-on from what I'm hearing from people so far.
Of course, they'll have to be successful or they won't come back next year.
So we actually spent a significant amount of time rebooking them. So we may have one, but if that's the third or fourth one that we book, because it counts as a staff shortage, or COVID, the truck breakdown, whatever.
It's really hard truck. It's really hard for those trucks, so we can only book certain trucks, smaller trucks.
Oh, they don't park at the top.
No, they're down at the beach. Which actually is a lot nicer because they're down
at the
concession.
Of course, yes, it's nice down there. But I can see that they would have. It's scary for them.
Yeah, it wasn't Sausage Fest.
No,
Sausage Fest?
It was supposed to be, but then it was really good, though.
Was it? Well.
We're trying.
Yeah.
A lot of
food
trucks are really old.
Oh, yeah.
They break down a lot.
Yeah.
I'm sure one will get stuck down there.
What do you think?
That'll be fun.
The picnic tables in the pier look fantastic, though. It's nice to have that additional seating. It looks nice. That's tangential to the financial report.
Yeah, we should go to the other person. Yeah. Well, we're in finance right now, so
yes.
Move it on.
Yes. Okay.
Any other finance questions,
John?
Good. That's good.
Nothing more? Great. Then we will move immediately to the Executive Director report, and Lisa will review items in her report.
Great. Just to tag on to Commissioner Baines, the pier looks amazing. If you haven't been down there, it looks really good, and the picnic tables and painted railings and everything. We've had a lot of great comments on that, so kudos to. It was quite the process to finish that, and you know, now we're hopeful to hold up to Lake Michigan weather, so we will see. So I'm sure you all read the report. I'm just going to do some highlights. So just a reminder, the 4th of July celebration, or Independence Day celebration, as we like to call it now, July 3rd is when the fireworks will be, and they'll have the party in the park on that night also, starting at 5 p.m. And then the 4th of July schedule starts at 8 a.m. with the race, the fun run and family games. And then the village parade. So our day ends pretty much 11:30, and then we go down to the beach and do, for season pass holders, beach events. So hopefully everybody will be there and checking that out. The next thing we want to talk about is some of our capital projects. So as you know, the staff presented an option in our capital projects to do some audio in this room, and initially proposed doing a better speaker system in this room, and then the scope was escalated by the board to add more technology into this room. So we did go out to bid for a complete package of what the board wanted, and maybe Kyle and Bobby, you can expound upon what is included in this bid. But it came back at, it was budgeted $75 from our consultant on that, and it came in at $98, higher than our consultant even thought. So if Kyle or Bobby, either one of you can tell the board what that scope includes for that $98,000.
Sure. So we work with Sentinel Technologies to develop the audio-visual plan for the space. The highlights of the design started with 8 pendant speakers that would be suspended from the ceiling. The design was meant for this sort of space with vaulted ceiling with an echoing to try to mitigate some of that. Brand new audio-visual equipment, presentation switcher, amplifier, and that whole rack would be in the closet across the hallway. In addition to the speakers in this room, we would have a projector from the center of the room with a retractable screen on the wall behind me. The screen would be 18 feet wide by 10 feet tall. The projector would be HD. There would be 3 HD live streaming cameras in the east, west, and north walls. There would be microphones for commissioners, and a touchscreen control panel would be in the room to be able to switch between different devices for people's PCs, navigate Zoom meetings. There would be the listening transmitter and receivers for people who are hearing impaired, and a portable display that could be brought in for additional presentations in addition to the projector and screen. That's pretty much the general scope of it. It's really just kind of a modern audiovisual setup for the space. It's supposed to be user-friendly, easily trainable for staff and but as Lisa said, it did come back at $90,000 was the budget, and the engineer was surprised by that, but we did escalation of costs for labor and materials and just everything we're seeing all around.
So we just need a little bit more direction for the board if you'd like to get to continue with this proposal. Or table for next year. We don't see that there's much room for, unless you went back scale down just to put the speaker system, which was initially proposed, we don't see more than a couple $1,000s taken out of the project overall if we scoped it back and still have what the board requested. We personally don't feel that that we will recoup any money from rentals or anything. What we probably would have to do is increase the rental rate for the room, because everybody would just assume all that stuff is included. So don't look, oh, we can make that money back. We don't really foresee that happening or predicting that we'd be surprised if that happened. We just need a little bit more directions. What you guys are feeling. We do have...
Question on the rental. So my thought was this could be a private room, this could be private meetings. And that, I assume, is a revenue stream from that. I just don't remember the numbers. But isn't there, maybe it's not a huge number, but isn't there some projected?
Yeah, there's. It's most people, first of all, they think it's just included into the room. They wouldn't want to pay extra for it, to be honest with you. And a lot of those, besides the bar mitzvahs and things like that, most of the times if a community group uses the room, it's rental free and things like that. So we don't generate a lot of money on our rentals. So don't, you know, just think by adding that, all of a sudden we'll be flooded with rentals. Probably would not be the case. There'd be some, but minor.
This is a pure community service.
Right. Right, exactly. Just bringing this room up to the technology standard. So,
I mean, you can look at this two ways. One of which I agree with you, that no one's going to spend, you know, $300 in the room and then spend an extra $200 on the audio equipment. They're going to assume that it's included, and so you might as well just charge $500 for rental. You know, there's a couple avenues to go to think about how folks feel here. One of which is that if we think the investment is worthwhile, then we do have to restructure the rent in the room. which would be, we say, hey, look, the room is a little more expensive, and even for community groups, if you want to use this room, you will have to pay, but use the other rooms, and it's free, right? So you at least continue to offer the community something for free, but if they want to use this room, it's a premium because it has that equipment. It's an option. I'm not saying to do it, but it's certainly an option. I think from what you were describing, though, this seems a little bit more expensive than even community. I didn't imagine three cameras, for instance. I imagine, so the conference rooms that we have at the office, just one camera that moves. You can kind of keep that room in a steady position. That's like, you know, voice activated. So when I'm talking, it seems on me, and then Lisa starts talking, and it moves to her. So it seems even more, it seems more lofty than what I think we actually needed. But that being said, you know, I think we should modernize the room. I think 100,000 seems like a lot. I'm happy to do it for the 50 to 75.
So I think we revisit the Sentinel Technologies and if there are any areas to kind of scale back. The initial conversation we saw with the numbers is that without drastically changing the proposed scope, there wasn't much to cut. There was the secondary TV display on the portable cart was the only thing that would significantly change the design. I could have those conversations if there's design changes that could result in more significant.
Yeah,
it's
possible because of the poor audio quality in this voltage room that equipment you're thinking of isn't going to work.
Yeah,
right.
Because I think
it can't recognize our voices and the cameras and go
and the big
but
screen
and
everything.
I don't have a problem thinking about a. A fixed setup, and also putting this out to bid, because I think we look at one person, and one person is going to say, oh, it's a park district with phenomenal financials.
This was put out to bid, right?
It was a legal bid.
It was a legal bid. This is our legal bid.
Yeah. Okay. We have six packages picked up and three bids.
Six packages, okay. And all between 90 and 100?
Yeah, I know the additional number in front of me, but it was up to 113 was the highest.
So it's labor, and it's probably electronics have gotten very expensive because of all the reasons they've gotten expensive. So the issue that I have is I can't look at what they're proposing and say, well, we wouldn't need this, but we could. I have to rely on what you've discussed with them, what we've all kind of fed you as we need it, really up to date. Let's not do a half partial job here. So balance that against not just saying, okay, if it's 98, it's 98. You know what I mean? So I suppose send you back to them. See, as Michael said, if there's anything we can do that you professionally and looking at this see wouldn't be absolutely necessary. But in the end, we need this room really functional 2022 style.
So if we told them what the scope was, which everybody expected, if you wanted to have Zoom meetings, be able to have architects or whoever Zoom in, be able to present it to the community to put it online to be more transparent. We told them all that. That's what they're recommending.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we go back and say...
It's just the way it is.
I'm not the user-friendly, so...
Yes.
Yeah, that's the other thing. But Jenny doesn't always have to be here running interference.
Right, we would not have someone on the weekends,
right.
Per se. So that adds a lot.
Yeah.
That adds a lot into it.
Oh, my gosh.
The touchpad stuff.
I'm thinking about this as a community benefit. So it's an additional $25,000.
Mm-hmm.
What other projects... Is this the community benefit of doing this for that additional $25,000 or taking away from something that's a community benefit of $25,000?
That's a good way of looking at it.
Because it's not a park, but our parks we don't do to make money. It's just for the benefit of the community.
Mm-hmm.
Is this something that the community wants to have and is a social good? How does that weigh against? Everything seems really expensive.
Right.
These days.
Right.
So it's like when you compare this to the pier or plots or whatever, it's like, oh.
Yeah, but compared to, for instance, playground equipment.
Yeah.
I mean, if you just look at it that way. I actually really like that way of viewing it. And in that case, I would say we need to move forward. That's how I would look at it.
Well, it's also for the operation of the staff and the park district,
yep.
not just the community, because it affects your operation.
Well, we use it, like, we would use it in all honesty for obviously board meetings and staff meetings, so maybe four times a month for park district related matters,
okay.
you know, and then special events would benefit, obviously, in here.
Programs
would benefit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Community groups tend to not want to pay for the rentals because they get 50% discount for this, but they get free access to
So we already do that when you said yes. Yeah.
So
I just want to make it clear that don't think, oh, we're going to get this recoup this money back, which I'm not saying is what it doesn't mean you don't do it. I just want to be very transparent.
Yeah.
You know, the pros I look at is that we're able to then present our meetings like we did before, which the other staff that don't come to meetings at night in the community can then have access to. The board meetings and see the visuals as opposed to just audios, and it makes us a little bit more transparent, which is a very good thing, you know, for so people that don't, they can tune into the meetings without having to be in the room if they want, just to be, keep informed, which mm-hmm. is never a bad thing. Transparency is
Correct.
A great thing. We did save money on the pier, believe it or not. So the pier, we did. So there, you could say that's the made up part of it. So we do, like, we do have money in the budget. We could do this. We have fund balances. So it's just that it, how Carol said, is that how you want to spend your money. So
how do you feel about it, Bob?
What do we think the life of this equipment is?
That's a great question. But yeah, four to five years. To be honest with you, it changes over
so
much faster than a park.
So it's about $20,000 a year to do it, and then the question is where technology costs have been coming down, and they spiked up recently.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I guess you can understand it. It's not a benefit. It's not. We're not really getting much of a benefit for it. But for the community, I guess it is important. They say, look, you know, look what we have.
Mm-hmm.
Meetings and broadcasts.
And remember, a lot of this came out of a frustration that we had running these meetings.
Yes.
You know, with really the weird thing with the people in the other room and the whole thing and talking on a weird microphone and nobody could hear.
Which is going to happen during flu season, right? I mean, during flu season, like, we don't have, for instance, we don't have the, one of the chief architects of the audit isn't here tonight, right?
Yeah.
We don't have a good way of engaging with him or her.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I think your question is right. Is this worth $25,000? Because we already said it's worth $75,000,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
So we kind of made that decision.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're also probably meeting a little bit of a dead horse to some extent because it's not. I feel very vanilla on it. I think there is benefits to the community. I think we should modernize. If we have the money and we don't have it allocated and there's places for it to use, I don't think it's a bad place to put money. Because I do think that we will need something like this. When flu season comes, when another pandemic comes, when a storm comes, when something comes. So I'm very middle of the road, and if I can go either way.
And this will solve the problem when one of our commissioners travels for work and needs to call in. We will have a better...
Yeah, a better way, yes.
So it's like, for them to hear us than us to hear the
right,
person.
Right, yes. It may not change the rules about voting if
right.
they suspend that, but it definitely will make it easier.
Because
it's very hard to hear.
It's like you're half there.
Yeah.
And, you know, the truth is it's difficult to get really good qualified people on this board, and people are working, and they do have to travel at times, and... that's just a reality, and I'd prefer having a functional commissioner. There's only five of us where we can hear that person and they really feel part of it. So I actually think that's an incentive to get this done.
I just want to make it clear that the governor may stop that order that allows for remote meetings.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know when. It's been extended. Or they may change the law and allow it into the future, but just we can't rely on that because we have to have at least three board members here to have a quorum in person.
Sure.
But I do agree that it's hard. It's great. That's a great thing. If one person's missed, they can still.
Yes.
You're sick. You were sick the other day. You really couldn't participate at all because of that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And I like that. That feature is a plus for me, too.
Okay.
The difference here, too, like, okay, so we know the WAP bids are too hot, so we're not doing that right now. We could say the same thing here. but the cost is so different. So I think here
it's
okay, and you know, that's just like you're dealing with millions, we're dealing with 25,000. So I think in our heads we can justify that it's different. Plus, we want it activated in here. So if we wait and it doesn't come down, or it goes up, then it could go up.
Right, and then we lose 10 months of the technology that we should be using.
And I think these prices are sticky. I don't think they're going to come down.
Yeah, I don't think.
I think once they see what they
can get a higher rate, but it's not going down.
I just don't think they're going down.
But I think it's still worth like going back and saying, you know, we're not thrilled with this number. What can you do? I mean, it's not going to.
I like that concept.
Well, remember, it's a legal bid.
That's
so
a legal bid. You can't. Yeah.
We just can't go.
No. That's the whole point.
No, we can do economy of scale.
You can remove things.
Yeah.
You can change scope.
Yeah.
You can change scope, but you can't change it that much because then you have to rebid it.
Yeah.
Just to be transparent on that.
That has to be a little. Okay. So.
If we went up and said, okay, we'll do it at the full price. I think there's still an echo problem. I think if you can have speakers everywhere, you're still going to have an echo problem here. The question is, you know, could you, you know, again, it's more money, but should there be like curtains along here that would absorb that, or is there something on a wall that absorbs it? But there's the dimensions this room aren't optimal for sound.
I mean, that's why we consulted an engineer to help with that, because we don't want to change this room.
Right.
Too much, because then it's...
Yeah, but is there something you can do to...
I mean, outside of the scope of the project, we could look into acoustic panels or some version of...
It's hard to really change then it would change the look of this room. That's what those are, yeah.
As we're talking, you know, noises are bouncing this and that way, the speakers, or when the sounds come out of the speakers, whether it's a commissioner talking to a microphone playing audio, with the sound directly downwards, so I think it'd be a little bit less than that echo.
It may be, because this is an unusual room. So do the best we can with this. The only other option is going into a small room, and then we didn't like that because we could have just stayed in one of the community rooms and put a system in that was much less expensive and do our board meetings in the smaller room. Yeah. But that just gets us closer together. And COVID, we didn't want to. We wanted to be that.
And then there's people there.
Cottage meeting, and you have to move it. If you can't.
Right.
Someone's presenting. It's a weird kind of situation.
The lights go off because no one's moving.
Yeah. So Bart, you're okay with this? Is that I just?
I'm into water.
You're okay with the.
Oh, someone's mask.
I kind of like that. You say, there's this pain in the ass board member, and if this echoes, he's going to be really pissed. Maybe tell the guy, I don't want echoes in this room after we spend $100,000. And you don't care, but there's this guy.
Approve the expense. And
We're not approving anything tonight. This is the first discussion. Yeah. So we'll have to bring it back to the July board meeting for approval.
Right.
So you know it's not on the agenda as an action item tonight.
But just so we move it back so that we know where we are.
Yep.
I'm so surprised that there's as much echo as there is with this carpet.
Hard surface everywhere.
There's like a sound absorbency issue that wouldn't change the look of the room. Yeah. There's expectations. But I'm not wildly enthusiastic, but I would support it.
Okay, sounds good. Yep. How about you, Carol?
I think it's maybe fancy compared to what other park districts have, so we would be probably, you know, top of the line. But I see it as opening up programming opportunities, especially the projection screen. Like, don't the kids watch movies on a TV now? So, like, if I can see, I think it would help to have, you know, it would be used. Mm-hmm. I don't care if we're generating revenue off it. I just want it to be well used and not just for these meetings, then I'm good.
I can't hear you. But if Dance and Dieter, who are in this room, would use it for sure. But that's, but other than that, and the occasional movie nights and stuff, special events, but.
Well, I was thinking Thanksgiving movie.
Oh.
Yeah, it's terrible. So, yeah. You know, that's the sort of thing I could see us individuals doing, maybe a movie night for camp, or special events in here. Staff training is a big one as well. You know, there's only, two or three adults a year where we do some.
But that adds up, right?
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
I like what you think. I always tell my spouse that we should invest in our home because we like to live in it, not because we're going to get a return on it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's also, I like that it's primarily for the community. Yeah. It's an enhanced service for people or for preschool programs or whatever. It's not something for the board. Yeah, we want to make it easier to listen to what we're saying and be as open as possible. But yeah, we anticipate a lot of community.
Well, good. Okay.
Okay.
So you heard.
Yep,
and we'll
I got
move
it.
On to the next.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Obviously, we reported back via email that the Watch Project bids came in over the estimated thing, so we decided to table the majority of the project. We did receive the extension for our grant for another year. We're going to rebid the majority of the building in hopes of, one, getting lower bids, or two, we can budget for that increase, and we would have that delayed tax revenue in. So, you know, those were the three things that were like, we did not feel comfortable accepting the bids because of the late, the second installment of that, income, our property taxes coming in later, and then we didn't have it budgeted. So it's a little bit of a gamble to go out next October or November, but it could also be a benefit. So we're not guaranteed the price will be lower, but at least we can budget properly and have that property tax money in there. We are, if you see in the action items, and we'll talk in more detail on that, we did get really favorable bids for our dasher boards for the rink, and we're still working on some costs for the controls. So we're recommending doing that before the WOT season this year. It could easily be done outside the scope of the whole building. So we're recommending that, and we'll talk about that later in the action items. Next thing I want to bring up is that we asked staff, and I'll pass this out now, to look at different ways to look at pickleball. You know, we've been having this discussion, you pass these three down, for a long time about pickleball, and it really came up in the lakefront meetings about when we asked a question about pickleball and tennis courts. And we heard loud and clear that the community really wants 4 to 6 pickleball courts close together, more so than really what location we're talking about. And so we also know internally that our tennis is going through the roof also. So the idea of eliminating our tennis courts and replacing them with pickleball really is not a viable option because we have tennis is going through the roof, our classes, our usage, and everything. We also have been getting complaints because we've done every tennis courts have pickleball lines in the tennis courts and portable nets, and we're now getting complaints from tennis people that it's always being used by pickleball. So we really wanted to look at what we could do for the pickleball players. So the team got creative, and I really have to give credit to Adam and Bobby and Kyle to really thinking outside the box about how about we look if we could use Watts, the large ice rink. Is there any way we can use that as an asset to put pickleball courts in? Because it sits empty from really March and through October, November area, and then we set it up for skating. So we have an asset that sits there most of the year empty. How could we utilize this? So at first, the staff thought about, can we paint pickleball courts on there? When we really started looking into that idea, we decided that's not really feasible. The paint, every season for ice rink, we would have to paint over it with some kind of paint because of the way the ice freezes and stuff like that. And we have pooling of water. So every time it rains, there's pooling of water that would be very labor intensive to get off so that people could play pickleball. So then all of a sudden, Kyle found this new material, and it's in your packet here, called Pickle Grip. So what we find out from pickleball players is they didn't like the traditional sports court. It didn't provide a good pickleball court. I guess it's it's not about the bounce, but it's about the slide. So when they hit it, the ball, instead of bouncing, it would slide across the surface. So this company has developed this new pickleball grip, and it's a sports tech, and snaps together. And it's supposed to let it stick more and bounce straight up. So Kyle was able to get this court Monday, get a sample of the court, one court put on the Watts rink for 2 weeks so we could try it out. So there's a picture on the back, and it kind of shows it. It's a little dirty, so it's not white, but they were putting it in. And we also have, if you remember, our deck hockey right next to it.
Yeah.
And so we're going to bring our pickleball instructor and some of the people that are really diehard pickleball players to come out and test the court out. And they're going to play in the pickleball court, and then we're going to have them play in deck hockey just so they can see the difference. This is probably our one and only opportunity to really get six pickleball courts in a closed session. So I put down some of the pros and cons. So the pros are we get six pickleball courts together in an underutilized outside area outside the winter months. There's bathrooms at the location. There's shade as far as the player boxes. The dasher boards provide protect the courts from wind, which we know is a big problem. That's was one of my main concerns about putting pickleball at lakefront. There's a lot of wind that goes through there and would really hamper pickleball. It also helps buffer the noise. There's plenty of parking there, and the neighbors have a large established tree. So if you know, there's arborvitaes that we've been growing throughout the years to do another buffer. The cons is that it may get hot. We don't know. We know right now if on a white surface it gets really hot in there, but the other day Bobby and I played on it, it wasn't that bad. So we have to see if we get six courts in there and cover most of that white surface. It will be hot just like any other court, but not so bad when it's just reflecting white. It may be different than traditional tennis court or pickleball court, you know, asphalt. There would be no ability to put fencing. So I know when we were doing those groups, everybody wanted fencing between the courts. There really wouldn't be ability to do that. The nets are portable. Now, we would do a higher quality net that is supposed to be really good, so better than ones we have on the courts right now, because they would just stay there and we would lock them down, not screw them in. But we think this is really viable option. So the price would be about ballpark, don't quote us on this, everything goes up, but about $90,000 to do those six courts from right now, what we think. Then we would have to take them up and put them down, so that's about $4,000. We'd probably bring that company back who put them up the other day, because they're fast and they're in and out. We'd have to do some kind of storage. We don't have storage right now, so we'd either rent a storage locker or purchase one and just always know we would store it in there. So those are some of the costs. Just so you know, if we were to go out, say we found a place in the park, say we were like, oh, we could put six pickleball courts in here, build them from new, it's about $500,000. So economically, this may be the way to go in a location that we could use. So I know we have, Stephanie plays pickleball. Anybody else play pickleball? So what we welcome you to do in the next 2 weeks, if you wanted to get a group of foursome to go out there and play on the court to see how you feel about it, we'll schedule it. We're not just opening it up to the public because we have camps there. There's some security issues right now. But we'll schedule a time. We'll get you in there and see what you think about the court at that time. But this might be a really viable option to provide something the community wants in a better location than we're looking at other places. So thoughts on that?
Yeah, you're inviting some pickup players to participate.
Yes. Yes. And we're going to schedule that. We're going to work through our instructor and Adam to schedule that, because we have a lot of camps running out of Watts right now, so we want to make sure they're going on a field trip or for safety reasons, make sure we don't have a bunch of strangers coming in. We're not opening up and advertising it to the public right now. Mm-hmm. We want to see if this is even an option.
Yeah.
If the diehard pickleball people say, no, this won't work, we'll say, okay, then we don't know if we'll have pickleball courts in the community except for what we already have.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, I have three thoughts. One of which is I'm hoping that Aaron can get a required questionnaire to those folks so we can actually see, like.
Oh, yeah.
Let's get
some feedback.
Questions.
Good. That's a great idea.
Just so that it's standardized, so we can get it and we can see it.
I like that.
Two is, I think your beach house would be a great place to store this because what are you going to do with it in the winter? But in all honesty, I think this is a good move. The only one concern I have is that, you know, it gets hot in there. Could we, don't look at me, Greg, I'm crazy, but could we remove, like, two window panels on each side? Just let some air.
We actually talked about that. That would be a possibility, yes.
I, for one, think
we can't remove them all, but we can remove a couple of them.
I, for one, think this is a good way. I'd love to see a consistent survey going out to asking all those folks, like a required survey, so that we can get some feedback.
We're only going to do the ones that actually played on it, because otherwise people, if they don't play on it, they'll understand this is such new technology that just...
Here,
fill this out.
Please,
you
know, fill this out.
Whatever
20 people come,
it's
the same size question.
Exactly. And
this way, you
have
some data. And you know, you can even have them do the
boom, boom, boom
on the
exit poll. Yeah.
And exit poll.
Very good.
And exit poll.
We like that. That's a good idea.
You said there's a sound absorbency to the mat.
And we were playing, and there wasn't a sound absorbency, but we have the Dasher boards and the glass all around it. So that's going to absorb sound from going out.
Okay.
But when we were playing it, it wasn't a loud noise on that material. And so you have to come see for yourself. But I was like, we were hitting it back and forth. Now, I wasn't really hitting hard, and there's only one court, so I can't say with six courts in there, there's not going to be noise. Well, yeah, there is. There's noise in hockey. There's noise for tennis, there's baseball. But we have the Dasher boards and the natural line of trees, and so it's not going to be quiet, but it's good. It was not overwhelming the sound.
The location may be the best location you can find in Glencoe.
Yep.
As far as neighbors, they're used to hearing hockey and, you know, pucks in the boards and cheering, and it's hard to say, gee, I bought this house because I don't mind hockey noises, but gee, the pickleball is going to bother me. It's like, no, you are living in an area that makes noise, and, you know, this week in a lot of ways with these noises is hockey. But I think it's a great location.
I think it's genius, but my concern is about the company and the technology. Like, are we going to be able to buy a replacement square, you know, a year from now if they don't are out of business? And are we going to throw $90,000 at it this year, but it's not durable and it has to last more than 1 year? Like, I don't know how long they've been around or whatever. I like the concept.
This is a 15-year warranty, but to your point that Ford doesn't need much of.
The company does sound good, right?
I can look at the parent company called SnapSport. Mm-hmm. I can see how long they've been around. The pickle grip technology is the new portion, so I can look into that kind of detail.
Yeah, the company's been around a long time because
okay.
They've been doing those SnapSports for a while. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, great. FIBA, whatever that means.
Yeah.
We do have a similar, not the same. We have the sports court in the studio, I think it's in the third or fourth season.
Mm-hmm.
And that's more, now it's not the same product, but in the same environment, it's working pretty well. And what they did when they purchased it, deck hockey, they bought extra squares that they can, if something happens, they can fit them in. And they store pretty easily. They come in one foot sections, but then they break it down by 9 foot sections. So it's actually pretty easy to store access.
And if we had six courts stored, we would probably have to consider a storage container or something to have on site. Because if they're a single board stacked with a power line by about 7 feet tall, obviously you'd have to figure out where you can store, you know, six of those. And I think we'd have to look for a addition container or something to have on site.
Yeah.
In the yard. It looks like fairly substantial storage.
Yeah. Boathouse is a great place, I'd say.
But the boathouse wouldn't be actually. Would you imagine how to try to get that down there?
Yeah. It looks like they
on a boat.
Their bread and butter is four courts, which is no short, but doesn't like them. You know, those backyards with their bread and butter. So
my thoughts were the same exactly.
Company
what's the guarantee?
How four decades?
The guy had started this 4 decades ago, but he left another company to join Sarvis. I read that thing as well.
Well, we'll check in to answer
you know,
that back.
Get references from other customers who purchased the equipment, you know, and see what they say about it. That would also be helpful. It, you know, if it works, it's unbelievable because it does solve a lot of problems for us.
I think it's an interesting and exciting idea. I don't agree. I don't think it solves our issue. I think people still want a court on a tennis court. I'm just going to say that. I would still advocate for that. I think it's a good addition, an interesting idea. I'll definitely go play on it to see. I'm concerned about the size and the balls because with no separation, I don't know how that's going to work. But I still think, it's a great addition and it's a great idea. I don't think it's awesome.
Well, remember, we still have two dedicated pickleball courts in our West grant that would still be put in so that we would still have two tennis court options at West, and we would still have the lines drawn on other, doesn't mean that we're taking those nets away. We still have the lines drawn in our regular tennis courts throughout town.
I'll be interested to see what the dedicated players say. I think it'll be very interesting to see their reaction and see what they say, because it's different to be enclosed, so it'll be interesting to see.
I know that the pickleball courts are not generally well received. So I think given this opportunity to see if this new product is any better, it's open-minded.
Right. And this might be the only chance we have to put
have that
four to six together.
Yes.
We could put two at each tennis court, but I don't know if we'll have an opportunity to put a big plaza like Glenview has. We just don't have the space or the ideal location.
And imagining those dasher boards being used year round makes the investment in replacing them not quite as painful. So
that's true.
Another benefit. Okay.
So that's the update on that one.
One observation. So it sounds like there's a desire to have the nets between the courts so the balls don't bounce back and forth. But I did go to Highland Park, when we were talking about this before, and they have an area next to the tennis courts where there's six courts. And you know, I've got a picture of it. There's no separation between the pickleball courts.
Yeah.
So
right.
Some people.
Right.
But is that the issue?
Some people. When we did the survey with the players, that's what they requested, to put 4-foot fences between each court to keep the balls in. But not everybody does that.
It's not standard.
It's six courts. You know, is it a tennis court surface?
Yep. They're not cheap.
Yeah.
This is one of the $500,000.
As a tennis player, we're always pulling the nets at the club I want to back because they're a tripping hazard. And if you're a serious player, you want to be able to get the ball and not run.
Yeah.
It's probably a divide about it.
Yeah.
And probably it depends on how serious you are about
getting
the ball.
Sure.
I can imagine it's not like if you're a poor player, maybe you hit it out more often.
Yeah, yeah.
It can't be that different than. Being on a tennis court with doubles match going on.
They hit out a lot.
Because
it's a small court and they're just a lighter ball, and so you always have to collect them. So if you have three courts, it'll be interesting to see. But tennis, you don't have as, I don't think you have as many box balls.
Oh, you do.
It's definitely a small space. So I don't know. That's my concern. It's definitely a small space for six courts.
Yeah.
It's going to be really interesting to see.
It'll be really good. I think for what it's worth, I even though Chris is no longer with us, I think the ingenuity of his team is there. I can imagine a cable can be put across with a net at a minimal cost compared to $500,000. You know, that could be
a cable? No. Probably.
Put a cable across and drag it. Anyway,
it stifles the airflow. I mean, I know what you mean, but
should not.
Yeah.
Although it is interesting that a brand new 6-court court in Highland Park does not have them, so that helps me to understand it isn't standard, especially in public courts. Maybe in private ones or something it would be, but in public courts it's not standard. So that helps
me. Some do have the mirror courts, and some have, if this were, some other courts, there would be as but let's say two nets.
Yeah, the cable.
Yeah, there'd be two nets dividing it into two streets.
Well, yeah, we're not designing it tonight. We're, let's see if the surface actually works first.
Yeah.
And then we'll come back and solve all the other world issues.
Step by step.
Yeah. My point is, I think you do have to take that first step of seeing if people like it. And then, if so, I think every option is on the table. It does not seem unreasonable cost. So I like the idea of testing it. Let's test it. Let's get it.
Lisa, will you let us know when if there's a reason to go there and view, or if there's time that we're going to, anywhere
with other people out there?
Play,
sure. We can do that.
That would be just
I can put it out.
And just, yeah.
Absolutely.
I would like to see it.
Okay.
In action or hit some balls. So that would be great. Okay.
Perfect.
Very what's next?
Okay, so to COVID protocols, that's all changed since this was printed, which is just what happens with COVID. So, as you know, there's a vaccine available now for 6 months to 5-year-olds. When that happened, DCF changed their regulations from required COVID. If you have COVID, the whole classroom has to quarantine for 5 to 10 days. So we are, as I sent the email out to everybody, so we changed the, as we follow the guidelines of the same DCFS, so we now have children that have COVID have to be out of the program for 5 to 10 days or having no symptoms, and then the children that were just exposed, the parents will just watch them. If they have any symptoms, keep them home. So we'll no longer quarantine everybody from the program. And as we go along, we'll just watch how this unfolds. So I put all the details in the email that I sent, but we did send that letter out to parents. I don't believe we had anybody call on that. So other than that, those are the main things for campus. I say summer's started off great. Camp is, they're doing an amazing job, especially with these hot weathers and then tornado warnings, and let's throw everything at them. And the same with at the beach, they're doing a phenomenal job. I was down there Monday for about 2 hours, and the lifeguards are doing a phenomenal job. And I don't know if you heard that Chicago Park District's not opening any of their pools, and Evanston is now opening one of their beaches, so we feel fortunate. They did a great job securing staff, both for our beach and our camp. So, and they're very well trained, and they keep on hiring and they keep on training, which we'll do throughout the summer. So, any questions about the report?
Yeah, I have a random question.
I'm ready.
Said Friends Park will have a spring animal.
Yeah, I was wondering what that animal was.
Yeah,
what
animal
you're adding?
Yeah, a spring animal. I thought an animal in the like a goat.
You know, the spring animal.
Yeah, and then it took me a while.
You sit on it. Okay,
an animal on a spring. It took me a while, too.
I will say, I don't know what to call it. Apparatus?
Spring toy.
Spring toy? What did I call it? What did I call it?
A spring animal.
Well, spring animal. Those are usually animals. They're like
fancy animals.
Oh, my God. People read my mind. No.
I was wondering what the hell they were talking about.
I thought I got a goat, a chicken. What is it? Yeah, okay.
They're killing me.
But see, we're reading the packet of all of us.
You read.
Yes.
Which I'm just so happy right now that I threw that in on purpose just to see if I would get any questions. Like I spin that one. That was good.
Did you never figure it out, Stephanie? Did you always wonder? What is a spring animal?
No, I circled it in my passion.
You really didn't. They must mean a springy.
I thought it was a statue. Wow.
What kind of animal is it, Kyle?
It is not an animal. It is a car. So
it's a car. It's a
spring toy.
I don't know why I thought it was an animal.
I mean, it's a spring animal because I just always...
Oh, okay, so...
Oh, yeah. Okay, it's a car. That's okay.
It's a car. Okay.
The spring was broken. We brought it back to the shop. The spring is in order. We just got a notification that it shipped out yesterday. So hopefully the next week or two we'll get that.
I just want to let you know.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was a car. We use it all the time.
Yeah, it broke. So it's going to be back.
Oh.
I just thought people would be concerned.
Older kids.
Yeah.
Oh, the 8th grade graduation. I knew it.
Yep, that's right.
I was thinking it was like a new feature. But
no.
Yeah, I thought it was. I really thought it was
new car. Maybe it'll be a fun color. Anything else?
Yes, Stephanie, what else?
We just,
I don't know if you're allowed to disclose this, I don't think you are, but I was just wondering why someone requested the last bid. Can you tell us who requested that?
That happens all the time. So bidders will bid on it, and then they want to see where they line up with other bidders. So it's a comment. We get them all after every bid.
Do.
We always get FOIA'd for that.
Well, I think with that, but since you said a non-for-profit organization.
Yeah, we get that. So that's normal.
Interesting. And just, could you just remind us, July 3rd, what are the times and
where? Starts at 5 o'clock on July 3rd with Bobby Band, starts at 6, I think. The food trucks, beer garden opens at 5. Children's games open around 6 o'clock. Fireworks whenever it's dark enough, so between 9 and 9:30.
Okay. And is the Park District participating in the parade this year?
We are participating in the parade. We'll have a float. So the board members would like to participate, please let us know, but we will have a float in the parade this year.
And campers.
And campers in it, yeah, and a DJ.
I think it's best to keep it to the DJ. I rode on it once. And
my daughter doesn't want to participate. I was wondering if we'd be in the parade because she wants to collect candy.
Yes. No. So you don't have to be.
Oh.
We just throw some fun. Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Well, she could throw the candy.
No, I was
like,
isn't this a cool concept?
My kids do it every year.
They
like it.
Yeah.
With the
broken
arm,
I don't know. Yes, more than welcome to walk at the parade. 1 o'clock, correct? So the lineup's usually at like 12:30, 12:45.
All right.
Okay. Let me know if anybody would like to walk in the parade with the campers or be on the DJ.
DJ
Gator.
I'm sure my kids will, but
okay. I'll have my little one-year-old grandchild. Maybe I'll
be.
He'll probably wonder, what's that? What is
he should
this?
Be at the family games.
Yeah.
You see him.
Awesome.
All right.
Anything else, Lisa?
No, that's it for my report.
And love the Friday reports on camp.
Oh, good.
Pictures. I absolutely love that. So keep that going. Ladies? Okay,
all right.
So we are going to move to action items. I entertain a motion to approve Ordinance Number 940, Fiscal Year 2021-22 Budget and Appropriation Ordinance as presented.
So moved.
Any discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Move a second. Hold on a second. Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Covey?
Yes.
Commissioner Schneider?
Yes.
Commissioner Spain?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes. Motion passes. I entertain a motion to accept the fiscal year 2021-22 audit as presented.
So moved.
Sorry, quick question. You can do all this in committee. We don't have a board meeting for...
No. We don't have to, technically. We can combine it, because the finance committee is there. Okay, second, Spain, I'll give it to you.
Any other discussion? Okay, roll call vote, please.
Mr. Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Covey?
Yes.
Commissioner Schneider?
Yes.
Commissioner Spain?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes. Motion passes. I entertain a motion to approve Glenville Park District staff to attend NRPA annual conference with expenses not to exceed $4,650 as presented.
So moved.
Any discussion? Wait, where is it again?
Arizona.
Oh, really? Great. Okay. Roll call vote. Any other discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Covey?
Yes.
Commissioner Schneider?
Yes.
Commissioner Spain?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes. Motion passes. I entertain a motion to approve the Rink Systems bid proposal for the Dasher Board portion of the Watts renovation project not to exceed $335,000 and $110,908 for management supervision fees, contingencies, insurance, and general conditions as presented.
So moved.
You're on roll.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Colby?
Yes.
Commissioner Schneider?
Yes.
Commissioner Spain?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes. Motion passes. Is there any other business, Lisa?
No.
Okay. And there is no reason, or is
there? There is a reason.
There is. Okay.
Yes.
So we are going to, the board will now enter into closed session where no action will be taken. I entertain a motion that pursuant to Section 5 ILCS 120-2 of the Open Meetings Act, the Board will enter closed session to discuss personnel as mandated by Section 2.06, 5 ILCS 120-2C1. Those present during executive session will include all commissioners, Lisa Shepherd, Audie Collins, and John Kutera. Somebody move that?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Okay, Lisa Shepherd, please note the time and do a roll call vote, please.
It's 8:20. Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Covey?
Yes.
Commissioner Snyder?
Yes.
Commissioner Spain?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes. Okay, I entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Meeting adjourned. Thank you.
Oops.